Neither rain nor hail nor sleet nor snow will stop us from doing this show. Welcome to Historical Hystericals. Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of Historical Hystericals. I'm Chris Brennan.
And I'm Commander Mike.
And today we're looking at the Lady of Laugh, the Madam of Mirth. Mirth? Phyllis Diller herself.
I've been looking forward to this one for a while because she really is the first lady of comedy. And I don't mean that because she's married to someone at the top end of the scale. She's the first lady of comedy. She's the first stand-up female comedian.
Yeah, and kicked things off late in her career as well, which is an inspiration to everybody. So, yeah, it's never too late to get things started. But she's got to be the queen of the one-liners.
Absolutely. She is an incredible performer, and she's still going. She does phone interviews nowadays, but she doesn't go out and perform on stage. But she's well into her 90s and still as funny as ever.
And as Phyllis once said, you know you're getting old when your walker has an airbag.
Yes. Well, you know you're getting old when they discontinue your blood type.
Oh, dear. The poor old Phyllis Diller.
What else did she say? Oh, I got some moisturizer. It said it would give me the skin of a 16-year-old. They were right. It gave me acne.
Oh, I love his finest hour lasted a minute and a half.
Oh, when you put moisturizer on, should your skin go...
Did you know Burt Reynolds once asked her out?
Really?
She was in his room. She was in his room at the time.
But... That would do it.
Mm, yeah.
All lines from the wonderful Phyllis Diller, and we can't do justice.
She just came up with so many. Now, she's in the Guinness Book of World Records, too.
Exactly. 12 punchlines in 1 minute.
I wonder if she got a laugh for each one.
I don't think the audience would be able to keep up. But I'd love to have seen it.
Yeah, Phyllis Diller had the same prop that Groucho Marx and George Burns had with the cigar. So when she hit the punchline... Cigarette goes in the mouth, so you know it's time to laugh. Did she do that 12 times in the 1 minute? You got to ask.
Ooh, I'd love to see video of that. I don't think I saw that in my research on YouTube. YouTube is your friend.
Here we go, folks, the YouTube ads again.
Oh, if only they would sponsor. Anyway, moving on. The groundbreaking pioneer that is Phyllis Diller. She's the face of stand-up comedy for a generation of baby boomers. Now, she predated Roseanne Barr's domestic goddess persona by more than two decades, and she shot to stardom in the 1950s with her eccentric, strangely attired housewife alter ego, an iconic underdog with a head of frazzled hair and excessive makeup. She endeared herself to an era of prosperous post-war middle Americans through her stand-up as well as musical comedy routines.
She's done countless TV appearances. Now, all these appearances made her a household name. Everybody knows Phyllis Diller. And she was forever seen in daytime talk shows and comedy-driven game shows like Hollywood Squares, The Gong Shows. And her comic persona was forever puffing away on that super long cigar and shooting off the rapid one-fire punchlines, all punctuated by that cackling laugh of hers. I mean, you can't miss a Phyllis Diller laugh.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Interestingly enough, the cigarette holder that she used was just a prop. She's a lifetime non-smoker.
Yeah, it's funny about that. I wonder if George Burns was the same. Was he a non-smoker or was he an actual smoker?
No, he was an actual smoker. Groucho was an actual smoker. But interestingly enough, when Groucho started a movie, he would pick up a cigar and never light it on screen. When they stopped filming, he'd put that down, pick up another cigar and smoke that. But the one cigar he had through his film stayed the same length.
Uh-huh.
So there's no continuity errors.
Good for continuity, yeah. Yeah. Now, but Phyllis was... Yeah, we do. Phyllis was born Phyllis Ada Driver on July the 17th, 1917. Get this, folks, 1917 in Lima, Ohio. She was a student of Lima's Central High School, and she went on to study for 3 years at the Sherwood Music Conservatorium in Chicago, Illinois, before she transferred to Bluffton College in Ohio. where she served as the editor of the school's most humorous newspaper articles. And she was a serious student of the piano also, but she never completely confident enough to get out and do the high-level performances.
After establishing her comic career, she returned to her musical roots and appeared as a piano soloist with over 100 symphony orchestras across the United States.
Wow.
Including performances in Dallas, Denver, Houston, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Cincinnati.
I mean, 100 symphony orchestra performances. I mean, that's something even, what was his name?
Victor Borge.
Victor Borge would have been proud of, yeah.
Yeah, Liberace would have been thrilled.
I was thinking Liberace, but yeah.
Oh, actually, there's a brilliant clip on YouTube of Phyllis Diller and Liberace playing piano. She's playing a harpsichord and he's playing a piano.
Oh, wow, that'd be cool to see.
It was really and funny as. Phyllis had a pretty average life, but before she knew it, she was married and had a she was married and was a mother of six kids.
Six kids.
Yes.
And she got married pretty young too. She was married at 22. In November 1939.
Yeah. Now, just quietly, she was an advertising copywriter during World War II, because you got to remember, at this time, women weren't really supposed to have jobs.
No.
They're supposed to be the housewife, the father knows best type environment of women stay home, all this sort of. So she was a copywriter during World War II. And the family moved to Michigan, where her husband found work as a window run bomber plant, which is for building bombers for the war effort. Now, she found herself being a natural laugh-getter, and she began writing household-related one-liners and got really nice feedback from the other wives around the area. Now, then the family moved to California for job-related reasons, and she became a secretary at the San Francisco TV station. By this time, she'd finally built up the courage to put together a nightclub act.
Now, of course, they said it couldn't be done back then because she's a lady comic, and there just were no lady comics back then. But the doyen of the female stand-up did just that, opening the doors to all the great female comedians that followed. And she was the first one to dare to intrude on the male-dominated area of stand-up comedians. Now, initially, Phyllis whipped up her alter ego that could only have been created with the aid of hallucinogenics, I tell you.
True.
She faced the world as a scrawny, witchy-faced, wiry-haired, outlandishly costumed, cigarette-holding, magpie-cackling version of Auntie Mame. Now, have you ever seen the movie Mame? You look at Mame and you look at Phyllis Diller next to each other, you can see the comparison.
The similarity.
Yeah,
so did other people, because later in her career she played Mame on Broadway.
good old Phyllis. She made a virtue out of her weird looks and cashed in on her wifely horror tales, as only Phyllis could. And she started all this at the age of 39. So if you're out there now and you're thinking, oh, geez, I'm in my early 30s or I'm in my late 20s, it's too late for me, I'm done, I'm washed up, get off your ass and get out there and do it. Why do I not listen to my own advice? So if Phyllis can do it at 39, anybody can do it. Not that I'm saying there was nothing special about her, but get out there and do it.
If you got the talent, it will shine through no matter what your age.
Exactly.
Now, she was an incredible success at the Purple Onion in San Francisco. She slithered around the piano, she lampooned current celebrities, she brandished the cigarette holder and made fun of high fashion and life in general. Her first appearance was on March 7, 1955. Now, she was booked for 2 weeks, but she stayed for 89.
That's an incredible run, isn't it? 89 weeks. And it was her first show, 89 weeks.
Yeah.
Amazing. The host of the local TV station, Willard Anderson and Don Sherwood, there's a couple of names you might know, they thought her act was absolutely hilarious, and they asked her to come along and join the show. Now, that was back in 1955.
Yeah, soon after she started the stand-up at the Purple Onion.
Yeah.
Now, the publicity she received took her straight to all the TV talk and variety circuits, where she was soon trading banter with such names as Jack Parr, Jack Benny, Red Skelton, among others. In fact, she made her first national TV appearance on Groucho Marx's popular quiz show, You Bet Your Life.
YouTube.
Now, YouTube. There was a great YouTube clip there where they show her appearance with Groucho. bombing terribly, I might add. But then there's a later interview added on where she's talking about it and saying how nervous she was. Can you imagine? First TV appearance, first national TV appearance, and you're up against Groucho?
Yeah.
But it must be said he was very generous and gave her time, but her nerves beat her on that night. But as YouTube, you've got to see that.
You can't blame it.
No, not at all.
5 years. Now, this is only 5 years after she started doing appearances. She's doing appearances at Carnegie Hall. This is a place that people strive their entire life to get to. And it's like the holy chalice of performers in America.
That's the pinnacle.
And here she is, 5 years on, making an appearance at Carnegie Hall. Just goes to show how good she really was.
Absolutely.
And still is.
Yes. So that took her throughout the 1960s. Audiences embraced her bold quirkiness, and she ended up becoming friends with the best of Hollywood talent. Now, she formed a very tight and lasting relationship with Bob Hope. She appeared in 3 of Hope's movies and 23 of his TV specials. Now, the movies she appeared in were Boy Did I Get a Wrong Number, which was hysterical, 8 on the Lam, and The Private Navy of Sergeant O'Farrell.
I've heard of that one.
Oh, The Private Navy of Sergeant O'Farrell was really interesting because it also had Dick Sargent in it, who was the second Darren.
Ah, right.
The second Darren in Bewitched.
The one without the back problems.
Yes. Anyway, even now she keeps a framed portrait of Bob Hope above her grand piano in her living room at home.
Oh.
Now, she also joined Bob Hope for a Vietnam tour in 1966 with his USO troop.
I remember seeing shots of her and Bob Hope up on stage doing the USO thing, and it looked like they had been working together for the last 40 years. You know, they were just so comfortable and so, you know, well-timed together. They were brilliant.
Yeah, and if you look closely, you can see one stand back to let the other one shine, and then it transperses, and they're very generous with their stage time, and I think that those are a reflection of their true affection for each other.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, Phyllis's persona just meshed in so perfectly with the far-out pop culture figures of the era, like, you know, well, Tiny Tim, for example.
Yep. And I think that was weird and wonderful.
She found some of the best writers to help her, too. Actually, Joan Rivers, before she made it big, wrote for Phyllis Diller.
Yes. So a lot of people don't realise where people get their starts, but, you know, and there's a lot of similarities. Have you noticed that Joan Rivers has a lot of similarities to Phyllis Diller? Well, maybe not so much now, but in the style and delivery in the early stuff of Joan Rivers. But that's digressing.
Oh, I don't know. When I see her on the red carpet at the Academy Awards and that, I always think, my God, she looks like some old crone. And there you go, Phyllis Diller. No.
Dear. Let's see, Phyllis's star celebrity eventually took a toll on the marriage. Now, she separated from husband number one and divorced Sherwood in 1965. He had, until this time, become a favourite topic and target for her act in the form of her husband, Fang.
Ah, so he was Fang.
Yeah. You've got to imagine a lot of comedians have a lot of trouble when they say, my wife is this, my wife is that, or in general terms. So she established Fang as the fictional husband to separate the real husband from the fake husband. But apparently he felt there's too many similarities anyway.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she divorced in 1965, but the same year she married a singer, a film actor, and TV host, Ward Donovan. Ward was in the slapstick movie with Phyllis, Did You Hear the One About the Travelling Sales Lady, which aired in 1968. Married in 65, they divorced in 75.
Yes, but they were separated for quite a long time in the middle there, but that's another story. So personal life wasn't going too well, but professionally she seemed to be everywhere in the 60s. She appeared regularly as a special guest on many television programs during the decade. She did a stint on one of the as one of the guests in What's My Line. Now, as a mystery guest, the blindfolded panel in the evening included Sammy Davis Jr. And they were able to guess her identity in 3 guesses.
That's right. The panel has to sit there with the blindfold on. The guest comes out and they ask yes or no questions, I think, was it?
That's right.
Or just simple questions and the guest has to answer. With a voice like Phyllis, I'd reckon 1 answer would be enough to give it to you.
Exactly.
But took them 3. Not to be proud of that. But...
She also made regular cameo appearances, making a, you know, little wisecracks on Ronan Martin's Laugh-In.
I remember Ronan Laugh-In.
Some of her stuff was absolutely brilliant. YouTube! One of the great jokes from that one had Phyllis running after a garbage truck that was pulling away from the curb, and she's yelling, "Am I too late?" And the driver would yell, "No, jump right in."
She was always putting herself down.
Yes, wasn't she? But wonderfully.
She also appeared in Dean Martin's Celebrity Roasts, where, you know, they get up and they roast another celebrity. And she became a celebrity on the game show circuit as well, finding a fair share of laughs in such established shows as Hollywood Squares and The Gong Show, as we said before. And she's had best-selling comedy records to her credit. And humorous anecdotes have been pitched onto books on the bookshelves. So have a look around. You may find a couple of stories about Phyllis Diller on the bookshelves. And she also has a book titled Phyllis Diller Tells All About Fang.
Sorry. Phyllis Diller Tells All About Fang is a whole lot of jokes. But if you want to see her autobiography, it's called Like a Lampshade in a Whorehouse. Because that's the way she described herself going on stage. I look like a lampshade in a whorehouse.
Of course, stand-up was where her heart was, and that's what she loved.
Oh, yes. Now, she did have her own TV series for a while. It was called Pruitts of Southampton. The Pruitts of Southampton. Okay. In 1966, had Phyllis pretty much pulling out all the stops, fright wig, outfits and everything, as a wacky widow who's invariably scheming to keep up a wealthy facade despite being heavily in debt. And even had Gypsy Rose Lee appearing there, but the show didn't really work. It was revamped and came back as the Phyllis Diller Shows, with several comedy's best second bananas coming on. Now, how's this for a lineup? You've got to see this on YouTube. Starring with Phyllis were John Austin, better known as Gomez Adams from the Adams Family.
Right.
Paul Lynde, who was probably best remembered from the Bewitched TV series as Uncle Albert. Not Albert, Arthur. What am I saying?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Richard Deacon, who was the big bald guy in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Dee Wolf, another very well-known laugh maker at the time.
Marty Ingalls was in there as well, wasn't he?
Marty Ingalls as well, yeah.
Mm.
The show was cancelled after a single season, a single season.
Thank you.
My tongue just came off the rollers, I think. They had a second
try. The studio one.
Oh, yes. They had a second try with the beautiful Phyllis Diller Show in 1968. Now, she was then backed by Rip Taylor and Norm Crosby, and that show only lasted 3 months. But that's really worth watching on YouTube as well.
Well, with names like Phyllis Diller and Rip Taylor in there, you've got to say, hey, this is going to be a good show. But, yeah, three months.
There's so much more to a TV show than just the stars, the writing, the production, the direction. Didn't all come together. Unfortunate, but we still got YouTube to catch up on it.
A famous quote from Phyllis is when she said, "I love TV. It's not my fault that the tube blows out when I laugh."
She's even been offered occasionally, not often, to take the funny face off long enough to appear in for a dramatic effect. Now, some of the more straightforward roles came later. There were episodes of Boston Legal and Seventh Heaven.
Oh, I remember seeing the Boston Legal episode, and I'm halfway through watching it, and I turned to my other half, and I said, that's Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
And it took a little while to actually drop in, that it was Phyllis Diller without the makeup, without the hair, and I'm sort of, oh, wow, that's Phyllis Diller, and it just, blew me away.
It was a very interesting performance. Don't know if you remember it yourselves, but she appeared opposite William Shatner's character, Denny Crane. She was alleging to have had a torrid love affair with him in the past. It seems they enjoyed a romantic moment in a foxhole during World War II. But she basically was appearing as herself.
So I'm just thinking Captain Kirk and Phyllis Diller having a love child.
Moving on.
You end up with a bald kid with a podgy belly. But
and a manic laugh.
Yeah. And a cigarette hanging out its mouth.
So we moved back a little bit to 1961. She made her stage and film debuts in dramas. The theatrical debut came with the production of The Dark at the Top of the Stairs. And she appeared first on film in the highly dramatic Splendor in the Grass in 1961. She lightened things up with a cameo appearance as a larger-than-life nightclub hostess in, what was the name, Texas something?
Texas, yeah, something Guinan. Like that.
Yeah. Texas Guinan.
Texas Guinan, that was it, Texas Guinan, yeah. Yep.
Now, she later impressed with her role in The Adding Machine opposite Milo O'Shea. Then she enjoyed a 3-month run on Broadway in Hello, Dolly, once again with Richard Deacon. Remember, we mentioned him, he was from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
That's the one.
They appeared together in many shows together over the years.
Now she was also in Wonderful Town, where she met Donovan, her husband.
Yes, that's right.
So that's probably a significant one for her, or significant in her life anyway.
Yeah. But more Broadway came along with Happy Birthday, Everybody Loves Opal, and Nonsense. Remember Nonsense? That wasn't on that long ago. Yeah, it wasn't so long ago in Melbourne here. It was a great show, but she played the Mother Superior.
Yes.
In 1993, Phyllis was inducted into the St. Louis Walk of Fame. Let's see, more recent appearances have included at least 3 episodes in Boston Legal and the long-running family drama Seventh Heaven.
Mm-hmm. Now, she popped up in the Drew Carey Show too.
Yes, she was playing Mimi Bobek's grandmother.
Right, now Mimi Bobek's mother was played by Tammy Baker, wasn't it?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, so you've got Tammy Baker as your mother, and then Phyllis Diller as your grandmother.
There's a family tree you'd want to dig the roots out of. And
our family tree's got root rot. Yeah.
Her wonderful, distinctive voice has been added to great animated films as well. First of all, The Monster's Mate, which was the Arthur Rankin Bass animated film, Monster Party, back in 1967. So she was the monster's mate.
Uh-huh.
Now, the monster was played by Boris Karloff.
Ah, right. And she was the Queen Ant, or what I think it was, in A Bug's Life.
That's right. Yep.
And I remember the bug had the really big hair, or the big crown on the head and everything, sort of like it was a mock-up of Phyllis Diller, for sure.
Absolutely. So Phyllis herself describes her comedy as tragedy revisited. She rolls them in the aisles with jokes about her figure, or lack thereof, the attempt of medical science to make her more attractive, her sex life with her mythical husband, Fang, her facelifts, her mother-in-law, her next-door neighbour. There seems to be no particular order in her zaniness, but it's always funny.
Now, was it Phyllis Diller that coined the line, "I've had so many facelifts that dimple in my chin is my belly button"?
I'm not sure if you could attribute it to her, but it really does fit. The great thing about her cosmetic surgery is that she admitted to it publicly. She got an award from the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery for the tremendous breakthrough in the acceptance of our field when she was the first person to have the courage to proclaim her surgery and show her results publicly.
I mean, sorry, Hollywood, who are you fooling? We know when you've had surgery. There's no point in sitting back and going, "Oh, no, I haven't had anything done," you know.
Yeah, but she was the first one to say, "Yep, I did, here it is."
Yeah.
Good on her.
And she was all the better for it.
Yep. Now, she's also posed semi-nude for saucy pictures that were to be published in Playboy. similar to those published by Joan Collins. This was in an effort to prove that women can still be sexy in the 50s and 60s. The photos were not published in the magazine.
Surprise.
Thank
surprise.
You, Playboy.
Yes, what does Joan Collins put between her ankles to attract young men?
Don't go there. But so a couple of photos did make it into her autobiography, Like a Lampshade in a Whorehouse.
Oh, God. One more reason not to buy the book.
Well, you can rip that page out. In 1991, she broke the 74-year attendance record at the St. Louis Mooney Opera, where she appeared as the Wicked Witch in Wizard of Oz. In 1992, she received the Lifetime Achievement at the televised Annual Comedy Awards and was given the 1993 Lifetime Humor Award by the National Humor Institute.
This National Humor Institute?
Oh, you must look them up. It's, yes, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
In 1999, she suffered a serious heart attack, wasn't expected to live. but she recovered well enough to return to the stage for a couple of years and then eventually announced her retirement in 2002. She was 84 at the time.
84. So from 39 to 84, which isn't a huge period of time.
But she made a huge impact.
45-year career, and she's made such a huge impact on the comedy circuit, television, live theatre, everything. I mean, yeah, amazing woman.
As for her health issues, she did have a pacemaker put in.
Yeah.
So she's running on batteries. And I'm not sure if it was during that operation or another one, but she was technically legally dead for 3 minutes.
Wow.
And they brought her back. And we
apparently, if the pacemaker fails, she just holds up a mirror to look at herself and kickstarts the heart again.
Ooh. Now, although living in retirement, she leads a very stimulating life at her home and spends much of her time painting, cooking, and gardening. In late 2007, Phyllis made an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Now, she was to go back again to celebrate her 90th birthday, but she had a back injury that forced her to cancel. Hopefully we're not seeing the last of her.
Let's hope not. Let's hope she still comes back and does something else. Yeah, I mean, like, how old was George Burns when he eventually departed the mortal coil?
99.
Let's see if Phyllis can tick over the 100 and show George a thing or two.
As I say, she still does telephone interviews from home and leads a quiet life. But, oh, the impact she had. She led the way for every female comic to follow.
Yeah, and like I said, the queen of the one-liners, Phyllis is responsible for lines like, a bachelor is a guy who never makes the same mistake once.
Yes. Cleaning your house while your kids are still growing up is like shoveling the walk before it stops snowing.
Yeah. I buried a lot of my ironing in the backyard.
Yes.
I've been asked to say a couple of words about my husband, Fang. How about short and cheap?
Tranquilizers only work if you follow the advice on the bottle. Keep away from children.
Yes. Never go to bed mad. Stay up and fight.
Yes. I love the wonderful lines. As we say, we've got YouTube as a great resource to see the wonderful woman in action.
And as we say, YouTube has just got so much stuff. I mean, you can't say enough about it, but you can't say enough about Phyllis Diller either.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, so, we can't say much more.
No, that pretty much covers her life. She's still with us. We are very thankful. We just love the fact that Phyllis Diller has been with us, made an impact for the better in the world.
For anyone who's sitting there going, oh, Phyllis Diller, check out some of her stuff. I mean, yeah, okay, a lot of it's dated now, and, you know, you look at some of the clothes and you go, oh, my God, you know. Actually, some of them are back in fashion now. But anyway, check out Phyllis Diller. Have a look on YouTube. See some of the stuff that she's got out there. The woman is funny. And keep in mind that her humor is putting herself down and putting her husband down. Basically, that's it. But, yeah. No, she's
and
funny.
Her next-door neighbors and her mother-in-law. And but it is so wonderfully done.
Did Phyllis make an appearance in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
No, didn't appear in Mad, Mad World.
Oh, bugger. I was sure she was in there. Might have been Joan Rivers.
No.
No? Oh, well.
Too early for Joan Rivers. If you're wondering what Phyllis Diller looked like, if you aren't educated enough to know, there are photos of Phyllis on our Facebook page. So look up Facebook and Historical Hystericals.
And you'll find it, and we promise it won't crack the screen.
If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can email us at commandermike356@yahoo.com.au. Or you can check out our website at commandermike356.podomatic.com.
Or, as Mike says, just jump on Facebook, do a search, Historical Hystericals, and bingo, there you go. Yeah. And, of course, if you're listening to the podcast, you've probably already been through the iTunes store and found us through there. So, hi, everybody from iTunes. Thank you.
Hi. Give us an email. Let us know what you're thinking of the shows. Let us know what you'd like to hear in the future.
And I think we can probably leave you with one more line from Phyllis Diller and one which is very close and personal to myself, and that is that housework can't kill you, but why take a chance?
Gotta love it.
See you next time, everyone.
Have fun. Bye.